The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, I suppose that meditation, sit quietly and close your eyes, can seem to be very much about, you know, something very individualistic, and you're kind of with yourself and dealing with yourself and finding some way for yourself. But for most human beings, a huge part of the Buddhist path to practice, the way that mindfulness addresses our life, is that it somehow or other is going to address also our interpersonal life, how we are in relationship to people and the world around us. And sometimes what happens in meditation is we start realizing how much our concerns have to do with our relationship with people around us and our attitude towards people, our concerns around people. And something that's, you know, common enough among many people are concerns about wanting to be liked, or fear of being rejected, or fear of disapproval, desire to be liked, desire to please people, to take care of people. Somehow it's about all about taking care of other people so that we can be liked. And, you know, some of this is reasonable, it's okay, but plenty of people have chronic issues around this. It's rather continuous, trying to please people, trying to avoid being rejected or displeasing people, worried about what people think about them, wanting to present themselves, not who they are, but who they think they should be, so that people will approve them, like them, accept them, something like that. And what happens as people's mindfulness practice builds, we start seeing much more of these tendencies we have. And sometimes they stand out as being glaringly obvious. Maybe we're sitting in meditation and for the 333 times we see, here I am thinking about thoughts about trying to please people or prove people that I'm a wonderful person, or I'm trying to, you know, get their approval, or here I am again, kind of trying to navigate the situation, completely concerned about being rejected and what do I have to do to not be rejected or something. And so we see these tendencies come up, and so then the question is, how do we address this in the practice? What can we do? And there's two primary things, I think, that this practice offers. There's other, certainly, ways of dealing with these things. But in terms of the mindfulness practice or meditation practice, there's two things that it offers. One is the encouragement to experience, to feel the unsatisfactoriness of those tendencies. Feel the suffering of it. Feel the discomfort of being caught up in that. Because sometimes really allowing ourselves to feel the discomfort, the stress, the unsatisfactoriness, that itself wakes us up to, you know, this is a drag. Maybe it's not worth it. Maybe the cost-benefit analysis does not come out in my favor. To spend all this time with this stress and this discomfort, it actually doesn't feel good to do this. People can be so caught up in these kind of interpersonal concerns that they don't actually, it kind of like wearing blinders, where we don't actually take in the cost, the personal cost in the moment of having that. We're so concerned with the kind of the concern that we don't notice that while we have the concern, it's actually quite uncomfortable here and now. So sometimes in Buddhism, it's actually good not to suffer more, but to experience the suffering better. Isn't that great? So don't suffer more, just suffer better. come to Buddhism. We're not going to have you suffer more, but please suffer better. Because there's wisdom that comes from that. There's understanding that comes from that. And it's a way of getting somehow disenchanted with the suffering. It's a way of saying, this is not worth it to do this stuff. Maybe this is overrated, this, you know, concern what other people think about me. And because this is kind of a drag to always be concerned how what other people think. So that's one thing to do. So if you have this kind of tendency, interpersonal tendencies, really let yourself feel the stress of doing that. And that might begin shifting something. The other thing the practice offers is it offers some kind of alternative to that tendency. So if the tendency of concern about people rejecting you comes from fear of rejection, anxiety, then maybe the opposite of fear for some people is a sense of confident well-being, some kind of sense of deep inner peace and relaxation. If the concern is you know, really that we feel insecure about ourselves, and so we're trying to somehow fill that insecurity with some kind of approval, then maybe that insecurity of oneself, maybe the alternative to that is to feel confident in oneself. So as we meditate, there are positive states that can come along. We can feel let go of a lot of the preoccupation, a lot of concern. We can feel a sense of peace, sense of well-being, sense of joy, some confidence. There's a variety of things we can feel. They might be very subtle at first, just hints of it. But to allow ourselves, when these things arise, to be nourished by them, nurtured by them, to take them in. The ancient language, they talk about, partly because there's a wordplay involved, the word for joy and piti and the word for drink are the same word. So, drink your joy. Or, you know, joy your drink or something. You know, we can't do it in English, I don't think, but, you know. So the idea is, you know, drink your joy. Take it in. Certainly not with, hopefully not with attachment, but you're not required to just ignore your any sense of well-being and happiness that comes with meditation practice. It's actually part of the path to allow yourself to feel it and be nourished by it. So even if it's a teeny bit, so if these interpersonal tendencies are there about fear of rejection, fear of disapproval, wanting approval, wanting everyone to like me, and we're doing all the social gymnastics so that everyone in the world will like us, which is impossible, but if you can go get into that social gymnastics, try it out. And if you feel like I've done this long enough, this is a drag. You know, after 40 years of doing this, I think that something has to change. So you can understand it better, see the suffering of it, and you can begin nourishing yourself with the opposite that begins to lessen that tendency, lessens the roots of it, the catalyst for it, so that you start feeding on or being conditioned yourself with the senses of well-being that becomes an alternative to the sense of ill-being, kind of distress that we might feel, that's the source of having these kinds of social concerns. So we're shifting kind of the orientation, we're shifting what's conditioning us. Finally, I'll say that if we don't do that, and these anxieties around social concerns has the upper hand, that itself is kind of a conditioning, that we're continuing to condition ourselves. It's like that we're drinking anxiety, and we're feeding on that, and that's going to affect us. So it's not so innocent just simply to stay with these habits of mind, habits of heart kind of operating. It actually continues to recondition us to have more of it. So it's very helpful to kind of step out of it and to kind of condition ourselves with the opposite. And then finally, one of the ways of doing the opposite or doing the alternative is in fact to practice mindfulness. Sometimes it's not available to us to bring in the positive qualities and drink that and nourish ourselves with that. But one of the positive qualities that we can bring is this kind of non-reactive mindfulness, this ability just to observe and be present and see. It interrupts the negative. And it offers some kind of, maybe it feels more neutral at first, but it, interrupting the negative is actually quite powerful if you do it, keep doing it. And then it offers there's a compositive quality to mindfulness so that you're feeding yourself. So just simply to wake up and be mindful is a kind of interruption. It's an interruption that's not a, it's not a resistance, it's not a squashing or suppression, but it is a kind of way of the stream of the mind activity is not continuing in the rumination, in the concerns that it keeps getting caught up in and reinforcing it. So please suffer better and please enjoy better. Those two things. And if you can do both of them, probably you'll find yourself becoming freer and happier overall. So, thank you.